Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is Franchise Today. Here we are one day ahead of the International Franchise Expo in New York City, and reporting live from New York City is my co-host, Stan Friedman.
Hey, Paul. Good to be back with you. Missed you last week.
Yeah, it was. I definitely missed you. There's no doubt. We had a great guest last week in Carmelo Marsala. I mean, first of all, he's a great individual, young entrepreneur, very dynamic, great to speak with. But he's got a name that Italians just love. I mean, Carmelo Marsala. I mean, it sounds like an opera star or some old Renaissance artist or something like that, or maybe even a philosopher. I mean, just a great name and a great guy, great show. If you're an emerging brand, if you're a young entrepreneur, I highly recommend going back and listening to that show and the show before that when we had the CEO of Kona Ice. I mean, two great shows, young brands, young entrepreneurs. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed last week, too. I know this was a next-gen winner, right? So he was a guy who was really just looking at our business through unblemished points of view. You know, he's just an aspiring young guy who's going places.
Yeah, and I've got a verbal commitment, too, Stan. I didn't tell you this earlier. John Evans out of Canada, also one of the next-gen winners, is going to be a guest on our show in the upcoming weeks. He's very, very excited. And as we announced a couple of weeks ago, he was actually in Waco, Texas, talking to Dina Dwyer Owens and the Dwyer Group. And I've just been sitting here with bated breath waiting for that announcement to come through. And, of course, it's entirely speculation on my part. I don't have any inside info, but there seems to be some synergy there for sure.
Well, that's great. I saw Dina last week, as a matter of fact, Paul. It was, well, I'll tell you what, this past week has been crazy for me travel-wise, just yin and yanging from Santa Barbara last week for the IFA Summer Board and Supplier Forum meetings back to Atlanta with enough time to do some laundry, change my bag, walk the dog once or twice, and head out here from New York.
Yep, no, that's a tough schedule, so tell us. What went on in Santa Barbara with the IFA board?
It was a great board meeting, Paul. The it's been several months now that Mr. Crisante has been in the role and has found his feet, and I think that there's just this incredible synergy that we are going to be the recipients of as IFA membership. In that, Robert Crisante at the helm as CEO. During the year that Aziz Hashim chairs the board, brings a quantum leap of opportunity for some amazing things to happen. The messaging of IFA into this year is taking a big turn and letting people understand more about what franchising is all about and what the people who own these franchise businesses is all about. Franchising gives back. Is a big cornerstone of getting the word out to everyday people that franchising is about everyday people, because it's an amazing shift in things we just assume people understand, and they don't. I mean, you hear people like Aziz talking about his own hourly wage employees don't know who they work for. They there's a Popeyes check on their or logo on a payroll check, and they think they work for Popeyes.
Right.
There's just a whole need for us to do a better job of messaging and communicating, and that's going to be a big mission this year, and it will pay dividends in not only the local communities for franchisees, but also in helping to maybe change the dialogue a little bit and to take control of the message as pertains to NLRB and joint employer and all of these impressions and misconceptions about franchising being Wall Street when it's really Main Street, and it's your neighbors that are running the businesses that are branded, but we have to get that paradigm shift, and we have to do a much better job. And I think with Aziz and Robert at the helm together, this is the year for that messaging to take hold.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, especially, you know, franchise candidates see this information left and right. And, of course, it's causing some trepidation on their part. And I just recently, with several new clients that are now franchising their business, you know, obviously have a whole host of questions and concerns over NLRB. And, of course, that's all the more reason I tell them they need to be involved in the IFA, be active, be proactive, learn all you can, and, you know, participate in September when we're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, there's a big focus across the entire board meeting, the entire, you know, multiple days that I was out there. The one drumbeat that everybody was hitting and hitting in unison was this new messaging. And even on the supplier board side, we on the supplier board are committed to helping to drive that message forward and suppliers in a single voice, looking to do what we can to help promote the messaging on franchising, promote fan and participation in the fall program in D.C., and to do all that we can to press on with franchising is local business for local people in local communities by local business owners.
Yep. Great stuff. And, you know, I'll be piggybacking that when Small Business Saturday starts coming around in the fall with our friends over at American Express. Before we get to our guests, Stan, you and I, the last 2 weekends, me 2 weeks ago, you this past weekend, were on the Small Business and Franchising Show with Gary Occhio Grosso. And I know you were just there this past Sunday with Tom Portese, the CEO of MFE Expos, the host and producer of the franchise, the International Franchise Expo in New York City. And certainly look forward to seeing Gary at the show and having another conversation with him about getting him on a future segment of Franchise Today.
I had a great time doing that program, and, you know, we have fun every week doing our podcast, but Gary's program is produced and broadcast on one of New York's top leading talk radio stations, 970 The Answer, and it was great to be on there with Brian from Bon Me, from Jason from Canine, Canine Resorts, Tom, and myself, and, of course, Gary is host's first time that I've been interviewed by Gary. It's kind of fun being interviewed when you're used to being the interviewer.
Yeah, it is.
I had a good time.
But, you know,
I had a great time.
Yeah. And it's great, you know, obviously, it's always neat when we're on an actual radio station as opposed to just being a top podcast, but certainly the couple of 100,000 on-demand listens that we've had over the past year is nothing to sneeze at either. And as I like to always position Franchise Today is we're kind of a complement to Undercover Boss on CBS, and today's guest falls right into place with previous guests that were on Undercover Boss, you know, going from Dina Dwyer-Owens to Shelley Sun, Catherine Monson, Steve Greenbaum, and today our guest is Eric Casaburi, the CEO and founder of Retro Fitness. Eric, welcome to Franchise Today.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Actually, well, it's afternoon now on the East Coast, so good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. And Paul, Eric, I think, has a distinction over those others that you just listed, because I don't know about any of them, but my take is that Eric's not a one-time but a two-time appearance.
That's right.
On Undercover Boss. Am I correct, Eric?
Yes. Yeah, I was very blessed and fortunate enough to be asked to come back to host a busted episode. Which was a lot of fun. That was more of a feel-good episode where a bunch of us bosses got together and told some stories about our experiences while on Undercover Boss. But the fun part was I was actually undercover on the show as a waiter for the bosses. It was really funny. A lot of laughs.
That's great.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look at that.
Time.
That's fantastic. That's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, ironically, well, one job in my whole life I've never done was wait tables. I've done it all. I've scrubbed toilet bowls. I've landscaped, paved driveways. I've done all that stuff. Waiting tables was one thing I've never done. It's very clear on the show that I was never an experienced waiter.
That's great. That's great. Well, before we get into Undercover Boss, just if you would, Eric, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, Eric the person, and that, you know, moment in your life where you made a decision, you were at a crossroads, you had some, you know, personal tragedy in the family, and you decided to, it was to the point where you had to make a decision, do I go this way or that way, and obviously to where you are today.
Well, thanks for that good lead-in to a great topic. I'm very fortunate to be able to talk about this with a lot of young athletes and young students when I speak at the schools and the colleges also as well. I've done a couple of speeches. And part of it is I do talk to the importance of, you know, who you surround yourself with at all times, right? I mean, I was very blessed to have, and to this day, I still remember my algebra teacher and some of my football coaches that were my teachers in high school that – when we had the tragedy of mom dying at such a young age and as close as I was with mom, they really were very, very instrumental in keeping me on a good path and leading me into the right direction. And I put all my efforts and my anxiety into athletics and sports. And, you know, it's all about focused energy, right? You could be great at anything. You could be the best drug addict in the world if you're really focused on it. You could also be the best CEO in the world if you really focus your energy on it. And it's a, kind of a Tony Robbins kind of thing. And I was very, very, very blessed these people around me to kind of just put me on a different track and say, here, this is the track you belong on. This is the track mom wanted you on. This is the track you're destined to be on. And, you know, I took a little bit of passion for athletics and sports and working out, weightlifting. I was very fortunate to get a job at a very young age in a fitness center, cleaning the urinals and the locker rooms and picking up people's crap and doing all those fun jobs that I highly, highly acclaim today to whoever's doing it on our team in Retro Fitness, because I know how important they are to the experience of the member. And it taught me a lot of things, you know, and humbled me as well. But I was very, very fortunate to have good people around me at the right time. So I always tell people, no matter what part of your life you're in, surround yourself with the right people, the people you want to, that you admire, the people you want to be like, the people you aspire to be like. It's never too young to start hanging around with the right types of people that are synergistic to your goals and what you truly want for the vision of your life.
So rumor has it, Eric, that you were a competitive bodybuilder at an earlier time in your life. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I did my stint in the hole. I played college football and I realized college football was going to wind up killing my rest of my body that was left. I decided in my second year of college that I was going to get into bodybuilding. I still love exercise. I still love competing. I still love being part of something, and I enjoyed the gym so much, the clanking of the weights, the smell of the rubber. I mean, I love every aspect of it, right, the old-school gyms as well. And I had a fun time. I met a lot of great people. I saw a whole other side of the industry, a very important side of the nutrition side of the industry. I was very, very, very well introduced to during bodybuilding because you really learned a lot about how to eat right and how important it is in maintaining good health and fitness, and it allowed me to see a whole other dimension into fitness, which I carried through into Retro Fitness, into the future of it, believe it or not, because we've always catered to the all-around member, anyone who just wants to work out. That's why we priced ourselves the way we did, so I could get more people off the couch and into our gyms. But we also have the ability to cater to the extremist, the athlete, the competitive athlete, the professional athlete, as well as the bodybuilder.
So we're going to talk some more about professional athletes, because you and I share some overlap there, and that, you know, I started the PAFI initiative, which your company has been so instrumentally involved with, sponsor and participant in, and we can get into some more information on that as we progress. But we'd like to start at the beginning. We'd like to start at the beginning with our interviews, and what I would love for you to do is take the audience from those first experiences you had with Brick and the first gym and the others that followed, and how that kind of led you toward franchising as the business model that you were going to follow. And we want to learn a little bit about what the audience can learn about the consumer experience first that made Retro something that you deemed to be franchisable, and then we'll get into the business side of the business from there.
So I like to tell my franchisees when I talk about my first experience in my very first gym, which is in South Central New Jersey in Brick, New Jersey. Was the first gym I ever owned and operated. And I was a young punk at 22 years old. And I made a lot of mistakes. I call them $10,000 mistakes. I made a ton of them, but we were what I call geographically successful. you could be a real crappy operator, but if you're actually on the right corner with the right demographics, you can actually still succeed and do well despite your own horrible operations. And that won't last for so long, because eventually a competitor is going to come in and knock your teeth out, which would have happened had we not learned a lot and not grown and done a lot of training. But the first gym was really a great experience for me. I learned a lot. I don't say great because I made a lot of money, because I did not make a ton of money, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about partnerships. My very first partnership was nothing shy of what I would call dysfunctional, but I can teach now people, and I always joke around with my franchisees, I say partners are for dancing, but unless you have a good agreement. So you have to have a good operating agreement. I learned about operating agreements and how important those instrumentals were in multi, you know, people partnerships. I learned a lot about how to, you know, what my member experience needed to be. As that company grew, when I opened up my second unit and then my third unit, it was on the heels of me going to a Anthony Robbins convention, and then I went to a Robert Kiyosaki convention where they had a leadership experience at it. And part of it was you got some coaching after. And I've done a couple of coaching sessions, the leadership proctor, and then I had a great conversation with the fine gentleman named Michael Gerber, who wrote The E-Myth, and subsequently some more books off of The E-Myth, E-Myth Mastery. And Michael's one of those guys you can call up and actually get him on the phone, which is really amazing. At least back then, I was able to get him on the phone, you know, 15 years ago. I don't know if I could today, but I was then. So, and he gave me some interesting advice. I was at a crossroads because I was that guy running my gyms. I was in there 80 hours a week. You know, you do the math, right? And you say, okay, well, if I have one gym and I'm in there 80 and I open up my second gym and I'm going to try to be in there 80, well, you're going to run out of hours in a day and days in a week to make what you're trying to do. So you have to figure out how to kind of the discipline of delegation. And you have to figure out how do I create what now becomes the first operations manual round. And that taught me how to actually do that. I learned that I had to delegate. I had to hire people. And I had to hire people that were better than me in certain areas, that were better with, you know, doing Excel spreadsheets than I was. And I did all that stuff. And it helped me to cultivate the experience that wound up being the Retro Fitness first round of franchising by my own gyms. I kind of treated myself as if I was a franchisee. I had three locations. I expanded from the first gym. I was able to, off of the winning numbers of there, I was able to convince a bank to give me another SBA loan for my second location. And at that point, I had some accountants and lawyers that were around me that kept, you know, would see all my leases and see my numbers. And they'd say, you know, hey, can we get involved on the next one? So then I sort of was able to raise private money. So it was a very interesting dynamic I had going on early on before I started the franchise. People were coming to me saying, hey, we want to partner with you. And then I realized I had a system, and I said, was it franchisable? And I went out and I sought who was the best, you know, franchising attorneys in my area, and Marks and Klein happened to be local to us. They were here in New Jersey. Jerry Marks had just written a book in franchising. And so I went and I had a meeting in their office, sat down with them and told them what I wanted to do. And they since then had guided me into the beautiful world of franchising that we are all living in today.
And then so today, we got,
I'm sorry,
go ahead. No, continue on, please.
Well, and then since we got there, we've evolved, right? So I get into there, and I've got the first group of guys that want to come in and open. We started opening franchising, and I kind of hit the mark at an interesting time. So I started Retro Fitness as a low-cost provider in the peak of the best economy. So if you look at the years we started Retro Fitness, it was, you know, 2004, I branded and trademarked. 5 and 6 is when I opened my own gyms and converted them, and then 2007 is when I really started franchising. Now, we all know what happened in 2008, but right before 2008, before that massive recession hit, we were at the top of the top. And I came in New Jersey, mind you, the New York metropolitan area, and was doing $19 a month, where everybody else was $49, $59, $69, $100 a month. People thought I was crazy. If I could tell you some of the calls and emails that I got then, you know, what are you doing? You're devaluing the industry. You're doing this. And I'm like, wow, you guys are really working out of a vacuum there. I couldn't believe the response I was getting. But I'm one of those guys that always say, you know, let the naysayers be yaysayers. You know, take it on your shoulder, let it push you instead of pull you. And, you know, I didn't let that stop my drive. But subsequently, and I'm not an economist, I had no clue what was about to happen. And then the recession hits. And almost overnight, our $19 membership, we became rock stars because people in this area were deciding, hey, do I go to the movies? Do I give up getting my nails done? Or do I go to my gym? And that was a real decision you had to make because you now had half the income. You had no income. You couldn't. I mean, there was all kinds of things going on. These were my members. So they loved us. They thanked us. They came in and they would thank us, literally thank us. So happy I can keep my membership. I'm so happy I can keep my health going. I'm so happy I can keep my fitness. So happy I can still control me because I can't control the world and my and what's going on with my money, but I can control how I feel and look. We gave people something that they just couldn't afford to have, and it catapulted. It was a perfect storm, right? So I started franchising at a time where a lot of things started happening that went very well. And again, I don't take a lot of the credence for it. I'm a very blessed human being. I believe it, you know, faith has a lot to do with where my path took me. And God has blessed me very much in the results of it. But I got to tell you, a lot of things lined up for me. And that's the great entrepreneur can see opportunity. Not they can create opportunity, but they can see opportunity. That's the difference.
So,
and some of the guys that speed up into the success.
You know, your market segment is fascinating to me because I don't think that there are as many of many things as there are gyms available to consumers in their local communities. Maybe yogurt shops, maybe bank branches, but gyms have just continued to emerge as a sector of the market that has grown immensely. And price alone isn't enough. I mean, that becomes more of a commodity if it's only price. So what else is it about retro fitness that provides a unique consumer experience that makes people feel good about sweating?
Well, that's what we always did. And I used to tell people, I'm not in the fitness business. I'm in the distraction business. I've got to keep you distracted long enough to keep coming back. Because if I don't give you a good experience, and whether that distraction is one of our awesome, you know, 17-inch LCD screens that's on our treadmills, or whether that distraction is, you know, the scenting we do in our clubs or the color scheme we do to keep you excited, or whether it's the interaction with one of our awesome front team members that makes your shake for you the exact way you want your shake made, or one of our trainers that puts you through a workout that just knocks you down, but they pick you back up kind of thing. That is all about what we do. And I've always said, I will be a low-cost provider for the price. I will not be a low-cost provider for my experience. So that feeling, that emotion, that passion, that's our mantra. And it drives us every day to keep evolving retro and changing it and making it better and doing all these new things. You know, we just launched the NEO, the new exercise order training. And that was an evolution of what the customer we felt needed and wanted. And we said, hey, we got these great big facilities. We have all the capabilities of doing this extremely awesome training. So I went out and sought after the top trainers around the country, and I put them on a board. I created a board, and we started creating content for the new exercise order, which Retro Fitness will be the exclusive provider of. And we put together some amazing stuff for people that – I mean, some of the content is just awesome. I mean, the workouts are amazing. And we're redesigning all of our – we call it Retro 2.0. We're launching this in all the new retros, and we're – going back and re-engineering some of the older retros to bring this into their stores so they have this to give an offer to their members.
So one of the things that I saw as I was doing my due diligence for the show is that you've been quoted numerous times as saying, you know, looking 2 to 3 years ahead to the future, planning along with looking at that 2 to 3 year period. And in addition to the national low cost, there certainly has been, you know, high value fitness for the consumer, and certainly lends towards the customer experience. And I think this was really epitomized at the beginning of this year when Retro Fitness gym members were given quite the incentive to really take their New Year's resolution serious in the new year and put their health first, as you basically offered a 90-day challenge with a grand prize of $10,000 to the member who achieved the greatest overall percent decrease in body weight. And the results from what I've seen were tremendous. I mean, the first prize winner, Giovanna Barato, went from 181.2 pounds to 128.4, almost a 30% decrease. Tell us a little bit about that and all the buzz around it.
Well, first of all, hats off to all those people that were in the challenge and all of them that do it every day. And God bless them. I'm so proud of all my members that were in the challenge, that competed, and that made their health and their lives and their fitness so much better. You know, we always put our money where our mouth is, and I love to incentivize people. And it's funny because at our convention this year in April, we showed video of some of these contestants, you know, doing their workouts. We showed them to our other franchisees, and we showed them talking about what was going on, how it was changing their lives. This is like midway through the challenge, mind you, that we were showing just some of the clips because they were filmed earlier. Many, they were filmed a month or two before. And my point to my franchisees was, this is why we do this. We don't do this for money, because money only comes that's not we all know that. I mean, success isn't money, right? Success is happiness and freedom and all these things a Zig Ziglar line, right? You want all the things that money can't buy. These are the important things that mean success.
Mm-hmm.
These people that are experiencing this are giving you a reason. Like I always thought, I've been recruited by, I can't tell you how many large industry companies that wanted me to come and run their companies, automobile industry. Over my career. And I've always said, I got to tell you, I like to rest my head on the pillow and wake up in the morning knowing that I'm about to do and I've already finished doing something really great today. I've helped someone, maybe one person, maybe 100, maybe a couple of thousand, now maybe it's half a million, change their lives for a very, very good reason. And I get paid for that. And it's a beautiful thing. So
what a great story.
Thank you. No, and I give a lot of it to not just myself, but my team, who's worked very hard. The 90-Day Challenge is a conglomeration of all of these guys and gals on my team putting this together. And coordinating it over 150 gyms is not exactly an easy thing to do, because we have to have weigh-ins and they have to be measured, and they have to be measured a certain way, and it's all got to be done on the same type of scale. I mean, it's amazing. But I got to tell you, it's well worth it, because our members love us for it, and they love competing against each other. You know, we did an owner competition behind the scenes on this new app we're working with and this concept we're rolling out in the Neo concept in Retro, and we were beta testing it, and we were all competing against each other for exercise points. And I gave $1,000, the company gave $1,000, and I doubled it. I gave $1,000 of my money to whoever won the competition if they doubled my points. So they had to beat me by two. So it was so much fun. But that stuff is cool. It's gamification of fitness. It makes it fun, and you get a secondary goal, you know. And at the end of the day, you're doing what? You're doing yourself the benefit. You're winning. No matter what, you're winning. Whether you lost the contest, you won because you did something. You showed yourself you could compete with you.
This is a great story. Great stuff. Eric. Hey, you're listening to Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with co-host Paul Segretto. We're speaking today with serial entrepreneur and two-time undercover boss Eric Cassaberry, founder and CEO of Retro Fitness. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, a business accelerator boasting more than 30 years' experience helping emerging brands bring sustainable growth to their franchise concepts. The Franchise Foundry utilizes a hybrid coaching and consulting approach that fosters effective short and long-term solutions for their clients and does so in several aspects of their business. These would include general and operational management, change management, traditional and digital marketing, relationship and business management, and of course, franchise recruitment and development. The Franchise Foundry can also assist brands with raising capital and with the exploration of mergers and acquisitions. I invite you to learn more about their expanding list of clients across various industry segments at franchisefoundry.com. That's www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today, also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for managing franchised relationships. Built in industry-leading Microsoft Dynamics CRM, FRM solutions are both cloud-based as well as fully accessible from right inside your Outlook inbox. With FRM, you'll spend more time focused on growing your business, while the systems and solutions that they provide take care of effectively managing your workflows and collaborative communications with both prospective and existing franchisees. You'll sort, report, and dashboard all of your vital data and empower your team to accelerate franchise sales while streamlining store openings and better managing the day-to-day operations of your business. No hassles, no long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions. FRM Solutions, find them on the web at frmsolutions.com. So, Eric, question for you. It's one question that always frightens a franchisor, but it won't in your case because I've talked to some of your franchisees. If I were to give you a description of something that one of your franchisees shared with me, do you think you could guess who it was?
Hello?
Did we lose Eric?
Hold on a second.
Paul?
Let's see. Eric, are you still there? Seem to have gotten
I'm
muted.
Here.
Okay.
I am here.
All right. So did you catch my question, or did we lose you there for a moment?
You gave me a description of something a franchisee said. Could I guess which franchisee it is?
Absolutely.
Let's try it. I have never played this fun game, but I want to give it a shot.
You know, it could be that this has happened more than once in your years, but from the story that I heard, it seemed pretty unique to me. I thought I'd take a wild swag at this and see if I could play this game and come up on top. So one of your franchisees that I happen to know told me that the defining and deciding factor when his group decided to invest in your brand as opposed to others that they were considering had something to do with something very personal that resides between your shoulder blades. Who might that be? Do you know?
Something very personal resides between my shoulder blades.
All right, maybe not. So Alan Boomer told me that he asked
Boomer.
You a question about whether or not you might sell your business and how would he know that you'd still be there as his franchisor going into the future. And you showed him a tattoo that said, this is my commitment to my brand.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's so ironic how so few people know about the tattoo that's been on the back of my neck since I
That's not the case any longer.
Virtual fitness.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, I wear collared shirts every so often now, but once in a while I let it drift out, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I do show folks that if they ask to see it, or the Retro Hour is branded on my on the back of my neck in a big way, and I always say it, you know, it's sort of at the top of my spine because you gotta have a spine to be in business like this. So.
But you know, deciding factor for a guy like Alan. For the sake of the audience, Alan Boomer is somebody that I know as an advisor, a financial advisor, and a wealth manager for a great many professional athletes. He, in fact, became an investor in a retro fitness business with a professional athlete. Told me that in his due diligence process, you know, he was pretty tough about who he'd get into this business with. And your commitment was that ink on your back. Said to him, you're not going anywhere. This guy is engrossed in this business. You know, if he sold it, he'd be wearing that tattoo for the rest of his life. He's not going anywhere. And it was a deciding factor for him.
It was a great feather in my cap. And Alan, I respect what he does and all of his colleagues. And we are so proud to have him as part of our retro fitness system, along with he and the athlete partners and his other partners that have invested with us. They're doing a great job in their locations, and you know, we look forward to their continued expansion in their development plan. But yeah, it's all true. I mean, if you sit with me for long enough, it's almost impossible for me not to talk to you about retro fitness. Or it's like talking about your kids, and I always talk about retro fitness being my fifth child. I've got four beautiful children, and a beautiful wife, and I'm so blessed. But my fifth child is certainly retro fitness, and it is treated accordingly. I tell my accountant, you should be able to write off my toilet paper. I said, because there's not a place I don't go where I'm not talking about retro.
I was wondering.
And he actually laughed because he knows
that
it's true. you fill in the gap there, but that's the God's honest truth. I don't care where we are. We're in a grocery store line. We're on an airplane. We're somewhere. If I look at you and we're talking and we're chatting, and whether you look like you work out or look like you don't work out, I'm going to bring it up. You know, we're going to talk about health and fitness.
Yeah, and I love your passion, true entrepreneur. You know, and as I was saying earlier in doing some diligence and preparing for the show, I came across what I thought was a great quote from you from an entrepreneurship standpoint, but I see where it, you know, basically can be applied in so many different ways. And you say, and you're talking basically at this point to up and coming entrepreneurs, and you say, you need to constantly be improving. When you get tired, you need to get out of the business. Your motor has to run in top gear all the time. And certainly you're walking the walk and talking the talk.
Well, thank you. It's very true. And I say, especially at our discovery days, when we're meeting new franchisees, my closing statement is always, you know, the minute you wake up and your feet hit the floor and you don't want to sprint to where you're going, you better change your direction.
Yeah, that's it. Lead, follow, get out of the way, right?
Yep.
Another thing I've discovered was that you, and I think it kind of ties to what you shared at the beginning about the 80-hour weeks and how many units could you possibly manage. 80 times 1, 2, 3, or 4. That same philosophy seems to have followed you into the unit level. And from what I've read, you certainly encourage passive investment from those who don't necessarily have to run the business day to day. Let's talk about that.
Sure. Yeah. One of the things we've always, and selfishly I created this, and I've been talking about this since, gosh, the beginning when we started franchising. I selfishly created the model the way it is. Because I had Carmella and Eric Jr. were just born, and I didn't see them. If you look at photographs from when we first started out building the business of our family, you know, Kim was taking most of the photographs, and I'm nowhere to be found. But she would take so many because she didn't want me to miss. There's video that she would take because she didn't want me to miss the stuff that I was missing. And I adore her for that today, because back then, when you're charging ahead, it's very easy to lose balance, right? Balance in work and play and family. And I lost that balance terribly, but I regained it. I figured it out. And if you look at it today, we built the model so you could have balance as an investor. You know, our mantra is, hey, don't quit your day job, because we have a management-driven business where we'll train your team, your top-tier general manager, your regional manager. We will school all of those folks. You don't have to learn how to press all the buttons. You can if you want. It's great to know, but you don't have to. You want to just know all the financial stuff, the data, everything is streamlined, it's all in the cloud. You can access anything, including even seeing your gym with our video DVR system now, if you want to look at your gym, but you don't have to be there. And that was the goal. You know, an owner can call in, have their 15-minute morning call with their manager every day, have their weekly meeting and maybe a monthly with the whole team, and everything runs. And you don't miss anything because you're getting real-time reporting. So the important thing are the numbers. And if the numbers are wrong, something's driving wrong, you can go in and you can fix that. You can adjust. But you don't have to be there micromanaging your business. In fact, sometimes when an owner gets in there and they micromanage, they overmanage. And that's a problem.
Sure.
That's a big problem.
Sure.
So, you know, we teach that, and we really teach it hard. And a lot of our owners are thrilled that they can just kind of write the check, if you will, and not have that pressure. You know, I'm not slicing the meat in the back of the hamburger shop. You know, it's a different environment for us. We create, and again, selfishly I created, because that's the one that I wanted. So what do I want for my life? I don't want to work for 40 years and then have missed everything. Yeah, I'll have some money in the bank, but I've missed everything. What are you working for? Now, we all say, hey, we're working for our family. We want to, you know, we want to have a future for our children. We want to, you know, have a great lifestyle. What's the quality of your life like, though? You're working 80 hours, 90 hours, 100 hours. You can grind on off hours. I tell people I work a crazy schedule. So I'll do all my stuff during the day that has to be done, that has to be done during business hours. I'll spend my family time. We do breakfast. We do dinners together no matter what. We're together. Sporting events, I'm at my kids' sporting events. I coach Derek's baseball team. I keep the book. I don't even coach because I kind of just sit there and I'm a statistician. It's the funniest thing. I always say I'm going to bring my – if I get it wrong, I tell the coach, I'll just call my CFO. He'll fix it all for us. You know, because they laugh. Because I'm always kind of distracted. I'll text while I'm doing the book. So – but those kinds of things I do. And then after the kids go to bed, we do our prayers. Everyone's asleep. Kim and I watch a show, you know, for a little bit. That's when I get back on the computer and I clock back in. But I'm clocking in on Eric's time, not my family's time. It's not even my business's time. I'm clocking in on Eric's time, my time, your time. But if you want to be a great entrepreneur,
sure,
you are going to have to work more hours than the average 40. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't mean you have to be grinding. I mean, a lot of my stuff is research. It's searching the web. It's reading articles, watching video. It's not daunting. I'm not digging ditches at 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning, but I'm I'm building for my business and my future, my company's future, but I don't let it now. That's the balance that I found. That's the balance that works for me. So I still have a crazy, maybe 80 or 90 hour work week. It's just spread over hours that most people wouldn't even consider, but maybe they should.
I'm with you on that. I know it, and it certainly relates into your business model. And Stan and I talk a lot about, you know, practical and sensible franchising as being the key to sustainable franchising. And along with that are, you know, various revenue streams. And again, looking at, you know, the value proposition that you have, certainly you add more value from a franchisee standpoint by offering a lot of different, you know, services such as, you know, RetroBlend smoothie bar, personal training, childcare, group fitness, pro shop, tanning, a bunch of different things that are great to add to the franchisee's bottom line. Give us a little bit of your perspective on that, because I know that didn't all roll out at once.
Sure. We call them the profit centers. So, you know, the gym membership is great. It's wonderful business. But it doesn't really – I call it, it's not a defensive business. And you got to be offensive to be defensive. And our offense is we add more possibilities for revenue. And we always are thinking, what else can we stick into this box? Get our guys and gals more money per square inch. And we look at things that are synergistic, things that are tied to health and wellness. And we try things, we test things. Some things stick, some things don't. But we always do things to add value to the box, we call it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So I know Stan wants to talk a little bit about the Professional Athletes Franchise Initiative. And Retro Fitness's role in that. But I have one question that was asked of me by somebody on my team the other day as we were preparing for the show. How'd you come up with the name Retro Fitness and why?
That's actually one of the best stories of all the stories. So it was, I could tell you exactly what it is. I could still see what I was seeing out the window of the bedroom. I was rocking Carmelo to sleep. I was on the night shift duty. Carmelo was just a 2-year-old at that point, and Eric Jr. was just born, and it was late at night, and it had to be 1, 2, or 3 in the morning. It was one of those nights, and I was on duty, and I had my little notepad and my little book light, and I was thinking to myself, you know, and again, coming off the heels of all this, I did a lot of seminars, guys. I was a seminar and book freak at that point. I'm a college dropout. I didn't learn a whole lot, you know, when I was going through those years in my school, but I learned a lot after I dropped out. I learned more than I feel like, you know, I call it the PhD in results, as they say. And I really spent a lot of time, and I had just come off the heels of one of those seminars, and they kept asking, who is your customer? Who's your real customer? And I sat there and I thought about it, and I thought, man, who do we really attract? Who are we seeing? And what does that customer love? What gets their mind ticking? What excites them? And I really noticed that my majority of my members, and I went and I ran a couple of reports, an age report and a male-female report. It was kind of a very slimmed-down version of a demographic report of my own members. And I looked at the report, and I said, most of the members were like my age. They were like in their early 30s, late 20s. And I said, man, that's Generation X, right? That was the big term back then. When Generation X was the popular term. And I said, well, what do we all, you know, what do I love? I mean, what do I watch on TV? What did I play with as a kid? And I started to think of all these things that I like. What kind of music do I listen to? And most of these people love hair bands, and they like pop culture, Madonna. And I think of all these things. And I had a notepad, and I wrote down the word retro on it. And I still have the notepad. I keep all the stuff I had in my earlier notes. I still keep, and someday I'll do something with it. I don't know what, but I wrote down the word retro, and I circled it like 3 or 4 times. And I said, my member is retro, man. I said, we love the 80s. So the whole first round of branding was my topic. I mean, it was really focused. I really didn't look outside of it because I didn't think outside. I said, this is who it is. I'm going after this member, and that's who I'm going to get. And we put on our marketing Atari joysticks, Van sneakers, black and white checkers. We put on our marketing Rubik's Cubes. I mean, And the title was Do You Remember When? And you flip the card over and it said When a Gym Was Affordable. And then it would have our offerings on the back, 1999. Blah, blah. And that was the campaign that drove us for the first 2 or 3 years. I mean, drove us really rock hard. And then I started realizing, holy crap, we're transcending demographics. When I did the low-cost provision, I put 1999 in there, and I made that decision. I took that leap of faith. We started seeing a tremendous influx of all demographics, people that were older. People that were teenagers, kids that were in high school that, you know, hey, $20, their parents will pay for a gym membership for them, you know, and all of a sudden it clicked. And I said, holy crap, okay, now I have a bigger, broader consumer. I have to attract all of these people in a different way. How do I talk to each of them in their specific demographic and their mindset and their social environment? Some of these people engage tremendously. And today, the younger ones, of course, on social media. But then you have the older group, the demographics, like my father's age, you know, the boomers, baby boomers, they don't partake too much in that environment, not nearly as much as we would. So we really had to shift how we talk to people and what we said in our messaging. But I learned a lot about marketing and messaging, but what I did early on is I achieved my goal. I wanted a certain customer and God damn it, we got it. That was the bottom line.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I wish we could do something about his energy, Paul. I mean, you know, if this guy's got more passion than any 10 people I know. And
yeah, there's solar energy, there's wind energy, and I think there's Casa Bury and energy.
Thank you.
And there's more, so much more I wanted to try to get to today, and I don't think time will allow us to touch on all of it, but I want to call out the fact that your passion for your business is something that's evident in your commitment to training, and I've learned that you've made a move to Disney campus to incorporate some of the Disney-type consulting into your training. And knowing athletes as I do that appreciate coaching and high levels of coaching, it takes a certain franchisor to be able to manage those relationships. You've had some success with guys like Lee Botten and with Rob Kurz. Tell some of our franchisors in the audience that might still be hesitant about developing relationships with franchisees that are formerly athletes about your experience and maybe coach them a little bit as to how to best approach that.
I got to tell you, I think athletes are some of the best franchisees. We have David Garrard also from the Jacksonville Jaguars. David's one of our bigger franchisees too, down here in Florida. I got to be honest with you. The reason I think there's so much synergy there is I come from the athletic world, right, personally. But it doesn't mean you have to be an athletic franchisor to understand this concept. But you have to understand discipline and coaching. I always say, even Michael Jordan has a coach. You know, people say, Eric, why do you have a business coach? I still today have a weekly call with my Anthony Robbins business coach. I still do it every single week because you got to stay sharp. These guys get that. They appreciate when we launch a new update to the operations manual, we got a new – you know, training platform coming out or a new way to we lowered sugar in the juice bar smoothies. I mean, these guys love this stuff because they understand improvement. They understand to be the best, you've got to train and act and behave like the best. And that means practice. And what is practice? Practice is implementing instructions. Well, what do we do? That's what we do. We're instructors. We're coaches. My ops team are coaches. They go out there and they coach you how to be a great operator. They're coaching your manager. But these athletes understand that. So they embrace it so much faster and easier than most will at a deeper level. And that deeper level is really the connection that your employees will see. We call it the trickle-down effect. If the owner embraces it, the manager embraces it, the team will embrace it, the member will benefit, the customer will benefit. And these guys get that, the athletes. And again, we're in fitness, so it's synergistic. They understand the benefits of health and wellness. So they kind of love us at a different place. They love us at a deeper level. In my experiences, I found people that are into fitness really embrace retro at a different level. It doesn't mean that they're any better or worse as an operator. It just means that they embrace it at a deeper level. But the athletes all embrace it so much. They love this stuff. And that's why we always say we're such a good fit and finish for any professional athlete because you understand what we're doing. Our intense training and our meaningful retro university is key to success. Just like Belichick's playbook is, right? I mean, if you're successful, I don't care what it is. You got a good playbook, man. I don't care who you are. You worked hard in your playbook. And that's what we do. We work really hard in our playbook every day. My VP of operations, Matt Schulte, he's been with me since day one. He's on a plane right now coming down here to Florida to go see one of our owners. I mean, this guy's been with me since the beginning, but he still goes inside of clubs, and he's going to meet me. We're going to meet for lunch tomorrow at one of our gyms, and we're going to go talk to the managers there. The owner's not going to be there, but my butt's going to be there. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to sit there. Hey, what's going on? Talk to and just talk shop. And when I'm there, I'm greeting members, and I'm talking to those members, and I'm showing them by example, you know, hey, hi and bye, how do you do it, what's the importance of that, asking them about, hey, do they want to get their shape, do you know this person's shape, do you know what their likes and likenesses are about the shape. I mean, all that stuff is like bang, 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 bang. This has got to be just, it's like when you say hike on a football field, you better know what the hell you're doing or the guy in front of you is going to smash you. Well, in business, when they say hike or the whistle blows, you better know what the hell you're doing or you're going to get smashed.
Well, I think this is a great insight as to how to take the playbook and transform it to the ops manual. And we forever have said in the Pro Athlete Franchise Initiative that the transferable skills that a position player who has got to get out there and learn his plays, learn all of his films, and then go out week after week and just do a better job each week of executing than he did the week before.
Amen.
That's exactly what we want out of a franchisee, and who better than a guy like Jason Mattis to lead the charge of bringing those kinds of people to the table for you, because he was an athlete himself, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jason being a former professional athlete and now our chief development officer is such a great synergy. He's able to talk to all of our athletes and owners, and he can talk to the Wall Street guys, because Jason did a stint on Wall Street. He's got such an incredible background that allows him to build a synergistic relationship and rapport with all of our different franchise candidates that come in. And he's able to identify what their needs are. But the athletes are really easy because he knows it. He knows where they are. He knows that life is not long-lived. It's not a forever career. I mean, unfortunately, Jason was one of those guys that, you know, was one of those guys that was in and out in three or four years with the professional career. And that's really, you know, the commonplace for a lot of these guys. You got to be smart with your money, and we teach you. We go so far beyond telling you how to run a gym. I teach you the entrepreneur coaching is my component. If any one of my owners has talked about, you know, other investment type things, where do I put my money? How do I invest? How do I double down on my gym? We coach all that stuff. My CFO will sit down with you and teach you QuickBooks. I mean, we teach you stuff that just is so far beyond just what you do in the gym. But we'll teach our owners and or their counterparts whatever they need to know to be the best business owner. Not best manager, not best gym owner, not best gym guy, not best fitness guy, best business owner that they can be.
Well, Eric, we are fast running out of time, and we want to leave enough time for you to tell people how to find you if they don't come to the ISE this weekend and meet Jason and the team, who will be at booth 405 at the Javits Center. How does the audience find you if they want to hear more about your story or learn more about your opportunity?
There's always links on retrofitness.com that you can grab us right there. You can hit the franchising link to learn more about us. We have retrofranchising.com as another website. All of it takes you to the same place. It's out there. There's tons of information about our company, about our, you know, the big question all these owners ask at first is how much money can I make? We tell you all that great stuff. Our item 19 is outstanding. It's all there. The disclosures are wonderful. We're right in the middle of the IFE. We've got a huge booth. You can't miss us, red and yellow. We got the Rockstar booth this year again, which we love, and we're very pleased with that show. It's always a great show, and we love seeing our friends and our other franchisors there and our colleagues, and we get to have some fun and some dinner, and we meet a lot of new people and prospective franchisees as well, of course.
Well, that's just great stuff. Stan and I both will be at the International Franchise Expo, and certainly we're going to come by and say hello. Without a doubt, we really do appreciate you being our guest today on Franchise Today, knowing how busy you must be. But, of course, you've got the energy level beyond belief, so I knew you would be well prepared. There was no doubt in my mind.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I'm very thankful for that.
Missed the opportunity to talk about the guitar and the band, but we'll get to that another time, won't we?
We'll do another show. Listen, Undercover Boss need to be for two. You guys need to be for two. Also. We'll make it
yes,
work.
Yes, we will. We will. Great.
So
great. Well, Stan, another great show. And, of course, we've got a busy few days ahead. I do want to shout out to you and your team at FRM Solutions being a platinum sponsor for this year's International Franchise Expo. Really a great way to showcase what would be a great or what is a great solution for franchisors of all ages. They definitely should hunt you down and talk to you about what you have to offer.
I appreciate that, Paul. You know, franchisors invest a lot of money into generating opportunities, and all I want to do is just help them figure out which are the ones that they should chase and help them close those deals more efficiently and quickly with our solutions. So I appreciate that shout out, and that's an extra spot for me today. I owe you one back now, Paul. You know, talking with Eric, I am so reminded. I felt like we could be on the phone with somebody who is one of my mentors and one of my early bosses, actually, way back in the Blimpy days. The guy who brought me into Blimpy was Dennis Farr, and Eric and his energy are almost parallel lines. I loved it. I kept reminding myself I'm talking to Eric, not Dennis. But Dennis has that same kind of positive energy that it just exudes it in his conversations.
Well, I just think, you know, the energy level has to be there in order to succeed in today's fast-paced environment. Stan, do you have any speaking engagements at this year's IFE?
No, I'm not speaking at IFE. You know, I do the A to Z's of buying a franchise in the West Coast and the Franchise Expo South. Here I'm going to go and listen to Dr. John Hayes do it at the IFE and pick up a pointer or a tip or two from watching him do it. He's the master, has been doing that for years at the IFE.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him do that here. I've got plenty of meetings and lots of people to spend time with, but thankfully I'm here just to drink it in and to take in the show. Walk the exhibit halls, attend some sessions. I'm sure you're speaking, are you not?
Well, I am, you know, at every one of these expos. I am honored to be speaking with Teresa Huska and Lee Plave in a session that's specifically for franchisors. That's Friday morning at 9 a.m. And we'll be talking about, you know, data breaches. We're talking about responsibilities with respect to data, and the responsibility of both franchisee and franchisor in that regard, and, of course, social media and everything digital within the franchise environment. And if a franchisor is really looking to save some thousands and really, if not millions of dollars with some of these breaches the way they're occurring, Wendy's, for example, just is all over the news about some quirks in their POS system that caused a data breach. It's like every show we come up to, we have new stuff that's so timely just a week before. So that's tomorrow morning. It's a 3.5-hour symposia. And also this year, Franchise Foundry is a silver sponsor. We're not platinum yet, but we're a silver sponsor trying to do our part for this great, great thing we call franchising. So I look forward to seeing you. It's been a long time since we saw each other face-to-face. And I look forward to spending some time with you and some of our other friends in the franchise world, as well as making some new friends, because that's what franchising is all about. It is about relationships. So I will see you in the Big Apple. I fly in tomorrow. Of course, you're already there.
Travel well. Be safe. Get out of that 130-degree heat that they call Houston, Texas, and come on. It's a beautiful day in New York.
Will do. Until next week here on Franchise Today, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best on this great, great thing we call franchising, and Franchise Today out.